This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is iFanboy Special Edition Captain Shazam.
We are family. I got all my sisters with me. We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing. We are family. I got all my sisters with me.
Welcome to iFanboy Special Edition Shazam. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I'm here with Paul from Montgomery.
Hello, Shazam.
And we're talking about not Captain Marvel, Shazam. This is the second straight Captain Marvel movie that's come out for the comic book crowd.
It's wild.
It's bizarre.
It's a crazy coincidence, and they both have Jimon Hansu, if I pronounced that correctly.
That's right. So this is the Shazam film from DC and Warner Brothers, written by Henry Gayden and directed by David F. Sandberg, whose work I'm not familiar with.
He's a horror director?
Yeah, he is a horror director. Interesting.
I only know that because just before this podcast, there was an article that I was looking up Shazam information, and the first article that popped up was talks about going from horror to Shazam.
Interesting. This film stars Zachary Levi as Shazam, as Paul mentioned, Jaimon Hansu as the wizard Shazam, Mark Strong as Dr. Savannah, and then you got a bunch of people.
Thad.
Jack Dylan Grazer as Freddie Freeman. Asher Angel plays young Billy Batson, or Billy Batson, I guess, just Billy Batson. And a whole lot of other people. There's a lot of characters. Spoiler warning, if you haven't seen the film, you might want to pause, come back, as we talk about the latest DC film.
There's one major spoiler I can think of. We'll wait a little, few minutes.
Yeah. I went in with very low expectations.
Okay.
I saw the teaser, which I enjoyed. I didn't see the full-length trailer.
Oh, okay.
But I went in with low expectations just because it's an odd property to do. It's an odd tone to try to capture. Zachary Levi's an interesting choice for Shazam, not the first choice you would think of.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know who wrote and directed it. Like, I'd heard nothing about that. So I was like, I'll just go. I'm not really, like, getting my hopes up. And a few minor quibbles aside, I had a really fun time.
It's a really charming movie.
It's a really charming movie. The cast is incredibly charming. I legitimately had a good time. I laughed a lot.
Yeah.
I thought they did as best they probably could with a character like Captain Marvel. Now there's some
weird
tonal things. The tone's all kind of all over the place. And I don't really know how this movie would fit in with the rest of the DC movies. But that aside, like, I had a really fun time watching Shazam.
And I mean, and it does, and this isn't the spoiler I was talking about, but it does take place in the DC movie universe.
Right.
We see hardcore. Superman.
Yeah, sort of, yes.
Sort of. We see bust down Superman. We see that costume.
The main story is that, you know, the wizard is looking for a champion. He's been looking for a champion for decades. The movie,
since the 70s, at least.
The movie opens in the 70s, in which young Thaddeus Savannah is taken from his father's car to the wizard's temple to be the champion, but he obviously does not pass the test of the seven deadly sins, and he is sent back, and he spends the rest of his life trying to get back there to get the power. Meanwhile, we cut to the present day, in which basically a story ripped from Grant Morrison and Dale Eaglesham's modern-day Shazam comics. Young Blue Batson, who's an orphan, ends up in a group home in Philadelphia with a bunch of adorable foster brothers and sisters and a very nice couple running the home in a very...
The Vasquezes?
You live in Philadelphia.
Yes, I do. Spacious, so this was a weird movie for me.
A spacious house. A spacious old Victorian house. I was marveling at the size of that house.
I don't know if they got a grant because
how lucrative is the foster parenting business? Because that is a giant house.
Or like they inherited it from their previous foster parents. I don't know.
But he ends up through an altercation with the school bully, running from them on a subway, ends up being taken to the wizard's temple via subway, where he does indeed pass the test and gets imbued with the power of Shazam, and then spends the rest of the movie figuring out his powers, figuring out his name, which they never quite figure out, and then end up fighting Dr. Savannah, who finds his way back into the temple and steals the evil powers and becomes a supervillain.
Puts it in his head. It's his eye.
And has the seven deadly sins in powers that are manifested as these creatures, and he wrecks
Played
havoc.
Played by Andy Serkis, apparently.
Really? All of them?
Wikipedia says Andy Serkis and stunt performers.
Interesting.
So he did some, they were on set. Maybe he like taught them, or like he was like the lead one.
Interesting. Well, he wants all the powers, so he tracks down not Shazam, or just Billy. And and wants the powers for himself, they have a superhero fight, and it all ends up with the Marvel family, although they're getting the fucking Marvel family. The Shazam family all getting their powers and fighting.
I don't know if you got this, but we had a little like sort of advertisement thing ahead of the movie when we saw it. Now, I saw this like a month ago because they had an early screening of it.
It was like two
Fandango VIP members.
Yeah,
it was like 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
They had a little clip at the beginning with the two main kid actors and Zach Levy, and they welcomed us formally to the Shazamly. So that's, I don't know if that's officially what they're calling it. They don't say that word in the movie.
We've joked on the Pick of the Week show about how, and I've joked and I've complained that since the official name change from Captain Marvel to Shazam, the family no longer makes sense in terms of the naming conventions.
Yeah, and Mary Marvel and
Captain Marvel Jr. And so as a result, they just haven't been named in the books. They don't call them by names. And that's very confusing and kind of annoying. Yeah. And the same thing happens here in the... I'm looking up on IMDb and it lists them as Mary Shazam, Freddie Shazam, Eugene Shazam, Pedro Shazam, Darla Shazam. And I don't know.
Oh, that's so they're using Shazam as the last name.
I don't know if that's a good idea, but I also don't know if that's an official thing. It's just an IMDb. But anyway, we'll get to them because they come in at the very end. I really like this. And Zachary Levi is a guy who was the lead on Chuck, who I liked a lot. And
yep.
Very unconventional choice. He's not what you picture in your head for a big square-jawed Fred McMurray Captain Marvel, but...
No. And he like looks like a dude in a padded suit.
Yes.
It's partly the suit design, I guess, and then just partly like his body type. He doesn't look like a naturally muscular...
I mean, he is a naturally muscular guy. He did bulk up for the role.
Like he's fit. He's, you know, but like he's not like you know, when they first started talking about this movie or this property, it was The Rock, right? And we didn't know if The Rock was going to be Shazam or Black Adam. And then finally he says like, I'm going to be Black Adam. And we don't know if that movie's ever going to happen.
Although he was an executive producer on the film.
Yes, he is.
So like, you know, Zachary Levi very... famously or not famously, he put his workout pictures online to prove to people he was bulking up. And he did bulk up, just not necessarily to the extent that the film shows.
But he looks like a guy who works at like Six Flags, who is like has taken care of himself, obviously, but is mostly wearing like a padded superhero costume. That's just what the costume looks like.
Which kind of makes sense in a weird way.
It works for it, you know.
Because, like, he is a kid in an adult body, so it makes kind of sense that the body is a little odd. I think it was just the shoulder. The shoulders are just gigantic.
Yeah, it's a look.
I have no doubt that
it's like Turbo Man thing going on.
I have no doubt that much of it was him. Just that some of it was a little padded. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. I mean, it's not like the bat suit's not a little padded. You know, that's just the way it goes. Anyway, the point is, he's really charming. And I thought, you know, it's obviously very similar to Big, Tom Hanks, and that classic movie about a kid becoming an adult. But
they make reference to.
Which there's a very... I couldn't decide if it was heavy-handed or cute, or I just let it go.
But I think they earned it.
They didn't linger on it. If he had like,
no. It's not a sequence. It's just like
in the middle of a fight. Super at the toy store, he lands on a giant piano and steps on it. Makes it sense.
Anyway. The floor piano, and
I thought he did a great job of portraying a kid inside an adult's body. He had that sort of guile, and he's not like a kid. It's not like he's 8. He's 15, so he's a little bit. He's a teenager in an adult's body, so he has that sort of guileless thing, because he's not really an adult. He doesn't really understand the adult world, but he can fake it a little bit, but really he couldn't.
I was sort of two minds on that, because I thought he was really good in that, but the way the younger actor plays Billy,
he was great.
He's like he was good. I will say he's acting a little bit like kind of like trying to be a tough guy, like obviously not a tough kid, but right. Or like, you know, he can hold himself, but like he was sort of like he's kind of like Billy as himself is kind of unlikable for much of the movie, because he's so mean to his foster siblings. He's got this chip on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to Zachary Levi as Shazam himself.
He did defend Freddie. That's how he got in trouble in the first place. I mean,
That's true. Yeah, he eventually does.
He had the emotional armor up that a kid on the living from foster and foster home would have. And right. It's just a matter of chipping it away throughout the film until it's gone by the end.
But I wouldn't say the saving grace, because there's a lot to like about this movie, but I think one of the sort of like stars of this movie is Freddie.
Yeah, he's great.
And I love the conceit that this is a world where superheroes exist. He has like, I love that he has like footage that he watches on YouTube of like Batman sightings, and he's got like this debris that may be from somewhere, or this bullet that may have hit Superman. Like,
and he had a different superhero t-shirt on every time you saw him. So
he's got like Aquaman stuff and
Wonder Woman
cool.
T-shirt.
But he's like, he is the superhero super fan, whereas Billy is not. And so he goes to Freddy for like, what do I do? Like how does it work to be a superhero? And I thought that was a really cool dynamic without Freddy feeling like pathetic.
No,
like,
not at all.
He's just a cool kid, and like he's got a good head on his shoulders. He just happens to be a super fan and know all this stuff, and he can get kind of carried away sometimes, like we all do.
Well, they're kids. I think that's the important thing to remember, is they're all the main characters, other than Dr. Savannah and the parents, are kids. So they make dumb kid mistakes that you are annoyed by, but that's what kids do. So when he tells everyone at school he's best friends with fucking whatever they call him at that point, and he's gonna show up by my lunchtime and show you all because he was picked on. That's a dumb kid thing to do, and so I really liked all those little.
Now you mentioned choices. School. This is one of the holdovers from the source material. It is Fawcett Central.
Fawcett Central
School. Now, well, I pointed this out online when I first saw it. It is apparently a school from K through 12th grade.
Right.
Because their little sister goes there, and she's like kindergarten, first grade, maybe.
She's young, yeah.
She's young. And then 10. Their older sister is like maybe going away to college, so she's 12th grade.
Well, Billy's 15, so he would be in school with Mary.
Right. But like they're in the same, literally in the same building as the little sister.
That was... Yeah, you'd expect that kind of school in a small town.
This is called Fawcett Central and has a cafeteria. And like they do point out that they don't all have the same lunch times. Like they're like that was a thing that I'm glad they pointed out. it was like they all showed up at that last scene at lunch, yeah. And was like, why are all these kids in the same lunchroom at the same time if they're in different grades and like what? And they point out that they switched their lunches around or something. And
yeah.
So that explains it. And also, if my Philly, I've lived in Philly my whole life. If my geography is correct and the context clues they give us, that is either in University City where Drexel campus is, or the middle of the Schuylkill River is where that high school is, based on the Market Frankfort stops that he's taking. And 30th Street Station, which is a major touchstone for Philly, is where the Wizard Shazam's temple is, or the, you know, where he gets transported to it. So that's kind of interesting. This is mostly shot in Toronto.
Right.
There's some familiar skylines for Philly people. But otherwise, this is kind of like, where are they? Like, what?
Now Philadelphia finally feels like New York.
I know.
Feels.
So many friends who live in New York, and they're like, watching Daredevil, like, they're like, they just went from the Bronx to, you know, Staten Island in 2 seconds or whatever.
Is the William Penn statue that big?
It's big. It's weird because it's up really high on the top of a skyscraper, so you don't see it.
Because when it gets destroyed, the head lands in the street. I thought it was a much smaller statue.
It's not like man size. It's bigger than a man. But I don't know how much bigger. But it's a hard thing to get wrap your head around the scale of it because it's up high in the air.
Right.
So like you don't see it at your level.
True. I like the family stuff a lot. I like the dynamic with the kids. You know,
it's my favorite stuff in the movie.
The kid, all the stuff at home, the foster home was great. I like the parents struggling to, you know, connect with Billy and keep the family together and amongst the chaos of all these kids running around. And I liked, they all had different problems. They all, you know, they all different issues. And Mary getting into college, but being conflicted about leaving. And like Eugene in the video games. Like they all had little things, little bits of business that gave them a little bit of personality, which I liked.
I think it's a real crowd pleaser moment when you find out, oh, they are going to get their powers. They are going to become the Shazamly.
That was my favorite. Please never say that again. That was my favorite bit was when at the end when they all got their powers.
I didn't know they were going to do that. I was like, oh, maybe they'll save it for the sequels or something.
Yes, but I was surprised.
And you get to see, you know, adult superhero versions of all of those kids.
And they had, you know, some major... Adam Brody plays adult Freddy.
Adam Brody is the notable one, I think.
Megan Good was Darla, and DJ Cortona was Pedro, and he was in G.I. Joe. Like they're all fairly, you know, not sizable, but they're all well recognizable in some way. I thought it was the same actress playing Mary because she's an adult, but apparently it wasn't the same actress playing Mary.
Yeah, I had to check it, and it was like that's just the same girl just in it. No,
strange.
So that's good casting, I guess. But Adam Brody is actually perfect casting for that kid.
Yes, yes.
Like, that's totally who he grows up to be.
They're going to have a hard time when these kids start growing up really fast.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I thought it was really interesting when we got, you know, the villain storyline with Dr. Savant, and he goes to his father's company and kills everyone. And
how old is his dad?
Well, the thing is, like...
Because he's still alive. He was old in 70... It's John Glover, the best part of Smallville.
Dr. Savant is played by Mark Strong with a shaved head. And kind of gives off Lex Luthor vibes. And then he goes to his dad's company named after them. And it's played by John Glover, who played Lex Luthor's father in Smallville, who ran the company named after them, too. So it was very much... I don't know if I ever got the very strong Lex Luthor parallels before with Dr. Savannah, but it was very obvious in the film to me. Like, it felt very Lex Luthor-y.
Like, this is more Lex Luthor-y than the actual DC cinematic universe Lex Luthor.
Right. It was very Lex Luthor-y. It was, I was like, wow, that's John. I mean, you know, John Glover.
Like, I just mean traditionally Lex Luthor. I don't want to say, like, oh, that's, you know.
But sure. It's just odd that
it's not my favorite portrayal of Lex Luthor.
They made the choice to cast John Glover, who played Lex Luthor's father, to playing the father of a guy with a shaved head.
Hey, if you have the opportunity to cast John Glover in something, do it, because that guy's awesome.
Absolutely. It was just interesting. Yeah, Mark Strong's always, he's a really great actor. He's always good. I thought he did a good job of selling the kind of silly over-the-top villain stuff.
Like, he was a great Sinestro.
Yeah.
It just happened to be the wrong project for it. It's the same way I feel about Henry Cavill as Superman. Like, he's a great Superman, but I just don't like the movies that he's Superman in.
Right.
It would have been great if he was Superman in this, because then...
Well, he was offered the walk-on cameo at the end.
Yeah, he was... busy.
Shazam shows up to lunch at school to back up Freddy's claim that they're buddies, and then he brings along Superman as the hammer joke, and you only see him from the neck down. I feel like they could have just, at that point, gotten, like, Jason Momoa or somebody who would be willing to make the cameo.
Oh, like to come in as Aquaman.
Yeah, but it was interesting because as different as the Marvel movies can be in terms of, like, it's a spy movie or heist movie or straight-up superhero movie or whatever, a space story. Mm-hmm. They all feel tonally as part of a piece. Like, you never...
Yeah, and some would say to a fault that they're very homogenous, but...
But you never get the sense that you're not watching something part of the same world. Whereas...
No, absolutely, yeah.
Here, I mean, I have a really hard time seeing this in the same world as Batman v Superman. You know what I mean? And I know that's not, like, a big deal, and it's not a fault of the film. I just find it very... It's more of a... observation on the state of the DC movies in that they don't feel...
It's very much in flux.
It's in flux. Every film feels completely different, which can be great, but also if you're trying to make this shared universe, I have a hard time seeing Wonder Woman in this world or
Billy
in Wonder Woman's world.
I'm assuming you saw, but the new Joker trailer came out this week.
And well, that's
another totally different...
But that's not in the shared world, though.
I know it's not supposed to be, but just it's sort of... it's almost like a lot of mixed messaging.
Yeah. Which is not a big deal. It's just like, you know, it felt like a lighter-hearted DC universe than the one we've seen so far. I mean, it's closer to Aquaman in terms of tone, but
yeah,
I have a real hard time seeing this.
That was actually my initial reaction to it was in thinking about, since I saw it so many weeks ago, and I was like, you know, how do I recommend this to people? And I was like, I know there are people I'm friends with that would love this movie. I know there are people that I'm friends with who would not like this movie. And my thing is, if you don't like Aquaman, if you didn't like Aquaman, if you didn't get something out of Aquaman, I don't think you're going to like this one at the very least.
This one's probably more traditional, even though it feels like a throwback superhero film.
I would traditional sort of like 90s-ish.
Well, I mean, Aquaman's very like out there.
Because I got those vibes out of Aquaman and Wonder Woman. Those felt like more like Superman the movie, which it's not the 90s, but
70s.
Yes, it's the 70s, very far. Yeah, but like this one, I think felt very like I don't know if I'd put it in the camp with like the Shadow and the Phantom, but
no,
it's campy though, and it's like it wears the comic book thing on its sleeve, whereas Batman versus Superman and Justice League, which I still haven't seen all of yet, feel like they're trying to get away from that. They're trying to be
they're
more.
They're running from it.
Like, this, what if it was? Yeah. What if superheroes were real? Not like, what if superheroes were real?
This is, you know, very bright costume and silly. Yeah. It's as much a comedy as it is anything else.
It has one of my favorite, just straight up like Incredibles style superhero gags. Like just lightly making a pastiche of the superhero genre, if there's a such thing. The bit where they're flying at the end and Silvana is monologuing.
Yeah, that was great.
But they're like high up in the air, and like Shazam is like several yards or maybe a mile away from him, and Silvana just assumes he can hear him. And Shazam's like, what? I can't hear. I don't understand what you're saying.
That was a great bit. He was like, they're like 100 yards apart, and Silvana's doing his villain speech. And they kept cutting from the speech to Shazam going, what?
And you just hear him, like, you just see him gesturing and stuff. And like, just the way they directed it and edited it, it's a good gag.
It was a very funny movie. The people I saw it with had a great time. All very different levels of interest in these kind of films. It was a crowd pleaser.
I think it has just a ton of heart. And some great comedy beats, like, you know, you see a lot of it in the trailer, and probably was in the teaser, the stuff where they go to the convenience store, which, by the way, if they're in Philly, that should be a Sevra Wawa.
And it should be selling Yingling.
And it shouldn't be a nondescript convenience store, because we don't have those. We just have Sevs and Wawas. It should totally be a Wawa.
That bit was great, too. You know, like...
It was good. It was just like, I wish I hadn't seen all of it in the...
Right. But, like, you know, also they buy beer because they're teenagers and they drink it.
And then they end up not liking it. They end up spitting it out.
And dreamt in buying soda. Like, it was funny. And then I also liked the strip club bits were funny, too.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I think the like getting the beer and then spitting out the beer because they don't like it sort of like tells you a lot of what you need to know about the mood and tone of this movie.
Yeah.
Like that they are teenagers, but like they don't like the taste of beer.
Right.
They find out that it's gross. They've never had it before. Right. So I love the bit. It's like stupid and silly, but the bit with the security guard at the school and like, oh, you need to be picked up by an adult or a guardian or something.
Ferris Bueller.
And then he just like, and young Billy goes around a corner and for like a second and then does the Shazam thing, which creates a huge noise.
Yeah.
And then comes around and is like this, and he's wearing a trench coat like over his superhero costume. It's great.
Yeah, it was funny. It was. I was really impressed with the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I was just impressed how much fun it was. That's what I'm looking for from these movies, because the Marvel movies are fun. The DC movies up until, you know, Wonder Woman was really, they weren't fun. They were not fun.
Right. Yeah.
These movies should be fun because they are silly.
It's refreshing.
You either embrace this the inherent silliness that is superheroes on the live action screen, or you run hard from it, and when you do that, you end up with Man of Steel and Batman v Superman and Justice League.
Yeah, it's just that moment when you find out, okay, what you very quickly realize that this movie is charming and fun and isn't taking itself too seriously very early on. But it's like that moment in Wonder Woman where she gets the ice cream.
Yeah.
And then she almost acts like a little girl, like she's so enthusiastic and excited about ice cream and she's never had it before. And like I remember watching Wonder Woman for the first time and being like, okay. And like just like sort of like resting back in my seat and being like, they understand.
We aren't gonna get super this is not
it's like almost like that ice cream moment was like
a turning point for the
filmmakers
movies.
Like assuring you that like we get it.
Yeah. Plus if you have a movie about kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has to be, you can't be too dark. Then
this is the movie where you do that. And to make it about family and found family. And the kids are so good.
They were really good. All the kids are really good.
And so it feels so awesome when they get to be superheroes themselves and they each get their own color. And like, especially like the little sister.
Yeah.
And that actress, I'm not familiar with the actress as an adult,
mm-hmm.
but she's so good at playing, like, because she's the youngest of them.
Right.
Has to do, like, what Zachary Levy is doing, but, like, amped up, because she's an especially young kid, and she's, like, super fast.
Yeah.
She's, like, so excited to be in that form, and then to also have the support and the celebration from her siblings, like, you're doing it. And like,
she's the member of the family that she wants everyone to keep getting along and be happy. Right. So she's when there's a lot of joy on the screen when they're a superhero team and they may mm-hmm. not exactly know how to do what they're doing or what they're doing. But, you know, when Pedro holds the wheel up and he's like, I'm doing it. Because all he wanted mm-hmm. to be, he's the fat kid who wants to be strong and fit, and now he is as a superhero. So he's like, you know, I finally can do it, and that was, you know, a great moment for him. And Eugene, who's like shooting out the bolts of lightning like he's in Mortal Kombat. You know, it was fun.
Is there also the subtext that he's gay as well?
Yes, that's what I thought. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. When they went to the strip club, he was not impressed.
It was like
so he said like this. He said like it's not my thing or whatever when they
right. And I didn't want to like put too much into like one bit of dialogue, but also like in a movie with this many characters, you do have to put that much into that little bit of dialogue. Like that wouldn't be there.
I think it was a very pointed line.
Yeah,
you know, when these young teenage kids seeing their first naked lady, and he's like, "It's not my thing." It's very pointed,
and it's. And I like that you're never in there with them. Yeah. You just like smash cut to the outside of the place.
Right.
And then they come out. It's a great running gag in the movie. That part was really well done.
Like Freddy knows them at this point.
Yes.
Because he would be the one they would all love. He's charming.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot of fun. That's what I keep coming back to in this movie is it's fun. It's fun in a different way than Aquaman was fun. Aquaman is fun in like this over the top, like riding, you know, sharks into battle kind of way. This is a fun in a... It's funny. Everyone's really charming. It embraces what it is, you know, wholeheartedly. There's Rocky mm-hmm. jokes.
There are Rocky jokes. There is pretty much right away a cheesesteak joke.
Listen, you go with what.
Because I didn't know that going. I didn't know it was set in Philly going in.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden they have like this news thing that sets up that they're in Philadelphia. And I guess there were some skyline things in the trailer, but it, I thought it was sort of like
random city.
Like when Arrow city. First came out, yeah. And like they used like bits of skyline from like three different cities. Right. Philly was one of them.
I just thought it was going to be Fawcett City, you know, so I right. was surprised yeah. when it was Philadelphia, and I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, and when they were in the cafeteria where you first see Fawcett Central in the background, I was like, oh, did they originally want it to be Fawcett City, and then they changed it at some point, and then they just never took that out?
Maybe they're saying Fawcett is like a neighborhood.
In the middle of the Schuylkill River, as far as I can
tell. In the DC Universe, there's a neighborhood there called Fawcett. I don't know.
Because it's like it's like one stop. It's like one or two stops away from 30th Street Station on the Market Frankfurt line. And so if they pretend like it doesn't make a turn and it just goes straight, I could see it being in Schuylkill River, or else it's in Fishtown. But
the subway anyways. Jokes were funny when he
yeah.
pulled into the Wizard Cave and he looked at the map and looked back out, looked at the map again, like, where am I? Was funny. It was funny. It had a lot of good jokes, smart jokes.
At the time, I didn't know how I felt about it, but I kind of like, in retrospect, I like that they played up the wizard stuff as just totally straight.
Yeah.
It's Hansu in little, like a long white beard. Like he's doing like a Dumbledore thing
yeah, kinda, yeah.
in his own voice, because he never really changes his voice anywhere. And it's like, yeah, these seven gargoyles represent the seven deadly sins. And it's just, they play it totally like.
Yeah.
They don't like try to. You know, there's no levity to it, to the point where when he says, you know, take my staff in your hands, and then Billy is like,
right,
like a kid would be like, hey, he said, hold his staff. And
right.
That's the first point where they actually kind of poke fun at it. Up until yeah, then, so, it's just it's like totally straight. Like, this is serious. This is, I have the power of Hercules and, you know, all these. And it's like, it's.
I mean, if you've got a movie with a talking evil caterpillar, you have to.
Oh my God. Yeah. I forgot about that. It's one of those out of body experiences when you're seeing these latter day superhero movies.
Right.
Where it's like, I can't believe I'm seeing this tender moment of Rocket Raccoon on screen.
Right.
And there's a bunch of people in this audience and like, he's on backpacks and stuff. And like, so now like the caterpillar, of course.
It's Mr. Mind, right? That's what that is.
I'm bad on my Shazam.
I'm pretty sure it's Mr. Mind.
Talkie Tawny is not here.
But there are a lot of tiger references.
But there are tigers. There's a tiger on Billy's backpack.
And at one point they open a door to a portal and it's full of the alligator men who are bad guys in Shazam world. So there's a...
Yes.
There is. So I hope this does well. Not just because I want the affirmation of these types of films. Like it doesn't have to be super dark to be popular. But I want to see more of the kids as superheroes. I want to see them grow as this team. I want them to get goddamn names. I want to know what these characters are called. And I want to see Dwayne Johnson as Black Adam. I would love to see a Black Adam Shazam matchup. And I want to see, fuck it, bring Talkie Tawny in. Bring a talking tiger in. Just let's do it. Or at least have him
cameo. And like, I think... what I'm feeling in the zeitgeist is that I think people are getting fatigued with Marvel stuff. I'm still having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
I still love the MCU. I'm stoked for Endgame.
Yeah, I mean, it's
but
gonna make
I feel
it.
Like people are like 3 hours and like, you know, and like all these movies are the same or whatever. And I was talking about Ant-Man and the Wasp the other day, and somebody on Twitter was like, they don't need to make any more of those. And like, I get it. There's a lot of them. It's been a lot of years where it's just been they're the dominant thing at the box office. I like that there's stuff like this, which doesn't feel anything at all like the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as an alternative. And it's not darker than the MCU. It's a lighter thing.
Right.
And it's for a different age bracket. And also, it's not as complicated. Like, it doesn't have the buy-in that you need for the MCU at this point.
Right.
Because, like, there's a lot of homework you got to do if you're just coming to see Endgame. Like, there's these
we talked about
different
that for,
movies
for
that
the
are...
last one. Yeah.
So, like, it's refreshing for there to be this thing, which you can just go see on its own. And it's, you know, if the MCU isn't your bag, then there's something like this. Diversity is always great.
Yeah.
And that includes diversity of tone and mood and style.
Yeah. There's a lot of goofiness that you can do here. And also, you know, I know we've said this before with other characters, but he's kind of the Ant-Man. I'd love to see this Shazam with Wonder Woman and Aquaman and whatever they do with Batman and Superman.
Totally.
Next. He would be really funny with them. He would be Paul Rudd on the Avengers, you know, and that's a fun dynamic to have. I know that Cavill's probably out and Affleck's definitely out, and I don't know what they're going to do moving forward.
And who knows what's going to happen with The Flash, too. There seems to be a lot of inner conflict on that project.
There is a core characters here that they could build on if they really figure out how to do it. And they'd be really fun together. And so I'm looking forward to seeing more of this world, hopefully, moving forward. I hope it does well this weekend. I hope it gets a sequel. I really had a fun time. Like I said, I went with low expectations. So as it started unfolding, I was like, oh, this is really fun.
Let your guard down and you're like, oh no, I'm enjoying this. Like this is kind of campy and it's, you know, there's some hokiness to it, but that's part of the fun of it.
And it's Captain Marvel. He's campy and hokey in the comics. You know, he's the big red cheese. You know, he's always been that weird carve out in the DC universe that still exists in the 1950s. And that's not what this is, but it totally fills that role.
It's also kind of weird talking about it in those terms because this is also a movie about child abandonment.
Yeah. Really like terrible parents. Like, his mom is awful.
The bit where he goes to see his mom is like really heavy. And like, she's apparently in like a not so great relationship, and they don't wrap that up with a nice bow by the end of the movie.
No.
Like it's sort of an ellipsis.
You're really expecting it to go a different way. It goes than it goes. And it was really interesting that that's the way they went.
Yeah. But like for the most part, this feels like what if Chris Columbus did a Shazam movie in like 1994 or something. Like,
right. But just, with the modern sort of sensibilities
exactly.
Technology and other things. But yeah, listen, I had a great time. Shazam. With an exclamation point. It's still a terrible name for a character, but we're gonna have just have to deal with it.
It's good to be part of the Shazamly.
Freddie Shazam Jr. God, it's terrible. They can't just be called Pedro Shazam. That's dumb.
But
they gotta figure it out. There's too many of them.
Dumb in an okay way. Well, they can't call themselves that because then they just turn into that.
Right.
That's the problem when your name is also your activation word.
Yeah. Stupid decisions. All right. If you have thoughts on Shazam, go to ifanboy.com. There'll be a post for this show. You can tell us what you thought there. And hopefully you enjoyed it as much as Paul and I did, which was a hell of a lot. I guess we'll rate it.
Oh, okay.
Out of 5 stars.
Okay.
4.25?
I
4.25?
There's a lot of tilt on this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm rating this subjectively like a 4, but maybe more like objectively, I'd probably be maybe down to the 3, but...
Yeah, I mean,
I want to love it. Like, and so I end up loving it.
Well, I mean, you.
So I have reservations about it, and you know, so it's like, and it's not, you know, there's a lot of great superhero movies out there, man, and it gets scary when you have to be like, well, you rated that a four, and then you gave this, and it's like, but you're rating them on different terms, and
yeah, every film is different
for different things. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, in terms of it being a successful Shazam movie in 2019, I will give it a 4.
All right, there you go. This is a very busy month of special edition shows. We've got a lot of movies coming out. We've got Hellboy next week, and then we'll have Endgame in 2 weeks. And Paul and I will be back with Ryan to talk about Justice League versus the Fatal Five animated movie in 3 weeks. So you'll get a lot more movie content out of us this month. Paul will be making a bunch of appearances, and we'll be having a grand old time. And hopefully you'll enjoy it as well. Enjoy all the films. Enjoy the discussion. Join it over at ifanboy.com. And until the next one, I'm Connor.
I'm Paul. Much love, everybody.
by the immortal elders Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Achilles, Mercury. Billy Batson and his mentor travel the highways and byways of the land on a never-ending mission to right wrongs, to develop understanding, and to seek justice for all. In time of dire need, young Billy has been granted the power by the immortals to summon awesome forces at the utterance of a single word. A word which transforms him in a flash into the mightiest of mortal beings, Captain Marvel!